Hello, everyone. I was waiting for everyone to be settled to buy time. My heart is jumping out of my body right now. So if you grasp it, if you catch it, please hold on to it for me, because that's all I have to give you. I gave my first talk here a year ago downstairs, and this is the second one, and was in the Drôme in February, and now. I still ask myself, why am I sitting here? Who is sitting here? And it's a lot of people. The previous time was smaller groups, but because since last summer, where Roshi asked me to give my first Dharma talk and jump into this not knowing, which we've been talking about these past days, and this is really what it is. I received this amazing purple rakusu, which Roshi and Anna bought together, not the rakusu, the fabric, in Lisbon, and that Thiago sewed, and Anna sewed again yesterday with me to adjust a few things. And it's heavy fabric. It's hot actually in the summer, so it's literally heavy and symbolically heavy too. Because what does it mean to wear this? What does it mean? I could be like the person you were talking about yesterday, whose name I don't know because I didn't know him. I'm the special one. but I'm not. Or if I am, then we all are. And we are, actually, not special. So, in order to be able to sit here, the only way for me is to start out with not think about it, but then to let go of all that I think I am, all that I hang on to, let go of me, of Lisa, because it's me and it's not me sitting here. As I said, my heart was jumping out. That's what it is. That's who's talking right now. I don't like talking in public, so it's really difficult. Often because I feel like I have nothing to say. So it's even harder to be here. And all I can do, and is to share my practice with you and my life, which is my practice, which is my life, and maybe continue with something that I've been going through these past months, sharing that with you, and how the fact that the being this, being awakened heart, which is my Dharma name, changed the way probably I engaged in these, in what happened recently. Yeah, because, and actually I wanted to dedicate this talk to my great aunt, Alice, who passed away last Friday. She was 99. And she actually decided to pass away, to go, and organized her passing away. A couple of months ago, she was tired. She was 99. She'd lived a full life. She was in pain physically and probably psychologically. And yes, she made that decision. And at some point, My first reaction was, first she had decided to do it accompanied by her, it happens in Switzerland, accompanied by her niece who lives there. And I asked her to go along, to be with her. And I discussed it with Roshi, who gave me two huge coins. One was our precept of not killing and the karmic consequences of that. And second was, which is a question I was already asking myself and people were asking me, but why are you doing it? It's horrible. Why are you doing this? Why was I going along? And this is really the, how do you plunge into these questions? How do you find the answers to these questions? The first one, you could go by, well, they're principles, so it's right or wrong, and it's wrong to be of her to be doing that, because it's not her time, and she can't do it. She can't do that. Or the other way. I mean, some other people are fine with that. And my first take on that was, what is loving action in that case for me? I couldn't judge her decision. Wasn't my decision. I couldn't only be there for her. And so, what was the appropriate thing to do in that case? And why was I doing? Why was I doing it? There's a thing that Roshi said, and that one another thing that's written on the back of this Rakusu, One is Vajra. I think I'm also of the Vajra family. It's direct, and with that comes anger and pride, and so maybe I was doing it out of that. I'm strong. I can do that. No problem. I can be there for her and hold her and be strong for her and show myself something. I can do it. Oof, wow. I can look at death in the eyes and I can do that. And then what's on the back of my rakusu is it's not what you do that matters, it's what you stop doing.
Is that correct?
No, it's not what you do that, but what you stop doing that matters. Same thing. And that's Nisargadatta that also was mentioned yesterday. And so I also, that's something also that I have to look into, because I jump into things, I do things, I'm always engaging. You might have noticed, actually. So, okay, so then, what is it? What does it mean? Doesn't mean that you don't do anything. But how do you do it? And why do you do it? And when do you do it? And out of where do you do it? So I sat with that. And sat with the not knowing of it. So deep, look deep. And that's what we all do when we're sitting and working on koans, and look deep into the, we talk about the gateless gate, the bottomless well. I mean, it's endless, endless what comes up, never stops. And how far can you go into the moment where, I don't know, maybe there's, you know, at some point you know. And recently, and it comes back also to, we're saying about not knowing, being intimate. I just read recently a koan about that, and it's one of, I thought it was Roshi, but one of koan, Joa's favorite, Joa sensei, is what is that beneath your robe? And the master answers intimate. So what is that? So I had to go deep into the layers of self, into the layers of what I believe was right, wrong, not right, not wrong, I should do this, not do this, hearing everybody around me having their opinion about it, until it came to a point where I could sit with it, be with it, and be free with it, and it was okay. I felt that that was the appropriate thing for me to do at that moment. Out of compassion, out of love, I hope selflessly, as much as I could. And a huge, huge koan. Especially for me, I don't know, but I said my Dharma name is Awakened Heart. And so Roshi was talking about yesterday, Vajra, and it's people in the mind, in the head, and I'm all up here. I am all up here. So this is my koan, so how do I get down here? And how do I... How do I engage from the heart as much as possible? Being here in a sesshin makes it somehow easier because of all of us, all of you. We're carried by everyone. And because it's a selfless act to be here. Of course, we want to gain something and try to come home a bit calmer and more something. But at the bottom of it, we know there's nothing to gain from it, nothing to achieve. But it's hard. It's hard to know that. Because then why? Why do it then? It's like the no merit. And I don't, this is like I'm wearing a little star with good student on it, but no. That's not it. I wasn't expecting this. Honestly, I wasn't. And I love this bus. I'm sure it's on purpose. Thank you. A rhinoceros. Mbongo. Very cute. So for once, for the first time, I wrote stuff down. But yeah, I think I've gone. Said pretty much. So back to this questioning and this. Looking into the self, into ourself, because that's your only place there we can look actually and be. So I engage in that after these koans. I haven't answered the koan, the karmic one. What consequences of my act will have? I don't know. I don't know. It's probably it's made me look into death's eyes and at the same time. Our practice teaches us to look at that all the time because it's all that's happening all over and over all the time. But it is different when it's someone in front of you passing away. It's not different, it's just stronger, it's harder, it's more powerful. But so I don't know what are the karmic consequences of that. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, so I went along on the journey with my great aunt from Paris to Switzerland and to her niece and then to the place and 2 days to accompany her. and try to be just here, there for her. Nothing more. Nothing. Just no judgment, no trying to get anything from her. Just bringing her whatever love and soothing presence I could give. The heart, all the heart I could give her, without words, without anything. There's nothing to say, really. I mean, what can you say? And so it was this this for me, it's part of my, it is my bodhisattva path, my way. And it was after having looked into deeply why I was doing it, I was sure I was doing that for it, that I was doing it for that. And I'm probably delusional. There's a lot of stuff I haven't seen, because there's always a lot of stuff you don't see, but I try to look as deep as I could, and it is, I hope it is, an act of pure love. And I hope she felt it that way. And when the moment came, it was all very peaceful. And I was very peaceful too. Letting go, that's what we learn here too. That's what we come to grips with. That's what we sit with all the time. To just let go. And so you let go. You let go of the other. You let go of yourself. And you let go of yourself to give yourself to the other fully. And that's what was happening. And I'm sure a lot of people do that without having this practice and do it the same way. But this is what sitting here on this cushion for over 10 years now has made me be able to do, I guess. In French, when this happens, we say there's an angel that passes. So maybe an angel was passing just now. You might have seen it. Probably. And I wish I could see you without glasses, but I can't. That's also letting go of your vision, old age. Yeah, I don't know if I have much else to say. And it is a blessing to have these bells, but it's also a curse because I know what time it is now. I was like, oh my God, whoa, another 45 minutes. Oh, terrible. What can I say? So I'm going to let you talk because I don't know. But am I right? Yeah. Oof. Times, well, we chant, time swiftly passes by, but sometimes it doesn't. It is slow. Now, maybe something else that pops up right now, and because Joa Sensei isn't here, and I think it's the first time he hasn't ever?
Since he started coming with us, this is the first time he has not come here.
And yeah, so just acknowledging him. He's here with us. It was his 50th birthday on Monday. Mm-hmm. And may I say, as everyone's around, that he asked Roshi, and the time hadn't come up yet, but he sends his love to everyone.
And you can see where he is.
And he's in a retreat with Gen Roshi in France. And he said that his time had come to let go of the Sangha as well, of Wildflower. I mean, not completely, hopefully. But to leave space for us, and I guess it's tough, but I guess I'm grateful. I don't know if I am. I don't think I am. Okay. Because it's going to sound weird, but I didn't choose to be here. I didn't want to be here. When Roshi dropped on this on me last year, I was like, no. But again, and I remember that's what I talked about last year. It was about trust. It was about trusting your teacher, trusting the way, trusting the path, and trusting you. And each of us, and trusting ourselves to walk this path. Because we are the path, and this is all we can do, is to walk it. And with all its little pebbles and curves and hurdles and whatever thing you stumble upon. In the Drôme, it was the Zendo was very different. We had a bay window that was, I was lucky I was facing that, and a magnificent tree with some amazing branches and going all over the place, and it was. And at that moment, what came was, how do you, how do you go ahead in front on a path with 99 curves?
How do you go straight?
Straight, thank you. How do you go straight on a path with 99 curves? And that tree was the embodiment of that. So we have to trust that we're going straight despite or with all the curves. And when I started 14 years ago, I was not expecting this. I was not a spiritual person. I wasn't looking for that. I don't know what I was looking for. I was looking for myself, that I know. And coming out of, or from, or knowing suffering, we all do. So I just ended up in this without knowing anything. Found Roshi Sensei at the time, and she had everything that was encapsulated all of me somehow, or the Sangha did. Being American, I'm American on my mother's side. With a Portuguese Sangha, I'm Portuguese on my father's side. In Paris, I live in Paris. Even born on the same day. Learned that later, though.
Not the same.
No. So yeah, how do you trust? Because it's keep using that phrase, but that word, that verb, but it's I mean, in order to be able to plunge and let go, you need to trust. Because otherwise, I mean, you could say, well, no, I'm going to hit myself. I can't do it. It's going to hurt. It does hurt sometimes. But you have to trust that, and trust your teacher that, and the Sangha, that it's going to be okay, and that you can do it, because you are it. So there's actually nothing to do, but you need to trust that you can, that you will, that we encounter that along the way. And so, 14 years later, yeah, here I am, drinking in this orange, beautiful cup. On this grayish day, in this beautiful place, thank you, Tiago. With all of you, thank you, all of you. And flies. Yeah, that's annoying when we're sitting, flies. Can you stay with the fly? Can you be the fly, actually? Questions, commentaries, help me. We can do a long kinin too.
I'd like to share something. When you start talking, my heart was activated as well. And in this kind of meetings, I always think I don't have anything to say as well. So. But as soon as I saw the purple color, it caught me. And my mother died 3 weeks ago. And I was also going through the whole process with her, me and my sister. This is a long story, but I had this ring because I was connecting with Earth through this color. And it was very difficult, but when she left, I felt a great release. And this sentence of Laurie Anderson, she says that the sense of death is the release of love, was totally in me. I didn't feel like sitting, I just felt like moving and going to the cinema, doing things. It was quite strange the way I felt like leaving it. I stopped working and I was having quite a resistance to come here, and now it's been difficult. Many things are coming. I'm not able to sleep. Usually I sleep very well. I'm camping, and it's been very good. But things are coming. Other things, I think, this Lutu.
Grief
has, I know, it has different stages. I started off 2 weeks being in a kind of a blissful state, and now I'm going to. But I wanted to just thank you and share with you this.
Thank you. Actually, I was so relieved to be coming here. I was to come to the retreat the day after my great aunt passed away. I was so happy to be able to sit. And actually, I was afraid. Let me tell the story. It was quite amazing. It was Friday, so Olympic Games. It's just a mess in Paris, a total mess. A third of the country's trains were stopped. There were no more trains into town, out of town, because there had been sabotage and everything was stopped. Except for the line coming from the east, which was the line I was taking from Switzerland. First, a sign. Second sign. So I leave from not Zurich, but Basel, and next stop is Dijon. I'm sitting, my mother came to join me. She didn't want to be there for that. Actually, in Switzerland, let's call it what it's called. It's called assisted suicide. My mother didn't want to be there, couldn't be there, but she met me in Basel, and we came back on the train together. And who comes into the train in Dijon but Claudia, sitting exactly opposite from her, from us. I mean... Come on, serendipity, what do you call that?
Well, apparently you weren't sitting in the seats you were supposed to sit in.
No, we were, but in the same, we were just a couple of seats behind. We just had moved.
That was my seat. Right. Mine was...
You were, was in, yeah, yeah, you were in your rightful seat. We were just three seats behind. So I would have seen her anyway. But it was like, so coming from Guenaud Roche's retreat in the door in Morvan.
Where is Joa?
Where Joa is now. Full circle, I mean, honestly. And so both of us, because of that, the Olympic Games and the sabotage could maybe wouldn't have made it. So we were lucky to arrive home and be able to leave again the next morning to be here, because the previous day there weren't any flights. I mean, a lot of flights had been cancelled too. So it was a mess. But anyway, all that to say that I was happy to come and sit, and I was expecting to break down at some point. It might happen still. Hasn't happened yet. But what you were seeing about the release, that's how it felt. It felt so right at that moment. Just, okay. That's it.
The release and the great intimacy with the not knowing.
Yeah.
I think that is, it's like, there's no way you can go some other way.
Mm.
You have to be there, intimate with not knowing.
Mm.
And
And I think it was important for me because I had not been there for my father passing away a long time ago. And so, yeah, it was important to be there and to meet the moment, to be fully present, to be... and accompany the person to let go also, because she was letting go. She had decided to let go. And be intimate with the pain, with the love, with all that is at that moment. Yeah. Sorry, it wasn't a very happy talk.
I thought something when we were asked to write down some names for the ceremony. I hadn't seen the sheet for a long time, and I thought, oh, and it's unlikely anyone's been through any recent deaths or anything. That's not going to... maybe two people. I go and see the list. It's just this, like, block of... everyone has something that, you know, means enough for them to write down on this sheet. Me, I'm resisting it. I'm like, I don't want to write down the person I have on my mind when you say that. Eventually I manage it, in which time there's been 15 more names added to the list. And it reminded me of that story. I don't know if I actually can remember the details. I think it's maybe the Buddha. And someone asks him something about death, and he says, go and find me.
Yeah, it's a mother with a baby dying.
Yeah.
That's right, and he asks, go and get something from the houses of people who have never had death. A mustard seed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mustard. Yeah,
anyway, everyone knows it. But, it's touched all of us in lots of different ways, and it's probably a part of the reason a lot of us are here, and if not, it will be in the future. So, anyway, that's why I remind you of that.
But you have written down the name.
I did muster up the strength to write down the name, yes.
is to meet that. It's something that I know very well and very early in my life. So I always had moments with that. And it was, and I sense it very well. The first was when I was 8. So hear your words in the way that you were sharing and open your heart completely to us in your Dharma talk. It opened completely mine, completely the color of I'm not sleeping well because I'm old, yes. And it's part of the process. And I want you to share that the last time that I had that sense of relief was with my grandmother. It was during COVID that I did a very crazy thing that I never shared. And I was writing there the name, and there that I put there is a very intimate person. And I was 2 days put there, share this, open my heart, and in this way with the Sangha to share that, asking for help in a way that I am putting myself in the seek list. And to me it's very hard because I have a great idea I had very early in my life about me. So I'm very a mind person like you. So to me speaking or feeling or sharing things that I cannot prove or to know that they are for real, okay? It's those choices that you were speaking about, the choice that you did
hearing your heart of doing that choice, yes, of helping and be with. Yes, I did that with my mother, with my grandmother, and with my sister. And that really, that really was saying, I do, hearing you, I gives me the peace, because the thing, the mad thing that I did with my grandmother was, it was COVID, so she was in the home. And so my mother, she could not go to see her, the granddaughters were not allowed to enter in the home. And the home didn't know how to deal with that. So when my grandmother was passing away, they to the hospital. And in the hospital, they give adrenaline, they give a lot of things and antibiotics. And I could not go into the hospital too because of the COVID. So I start to scream and yelling at all the people and say, look, you have to make a choice now. I can do because it's the doctor. I'm just, you know, in the check here, list. I can do nothing for help. No, you can. You can choose to help me now. And she did. So she went to speak with the nurse and I could speak with the doctor. And so they released my grandmother to the home again to die. Because I said to the doctors, look, she's just dying. What are you doing? Putting tubes and all that stuff. And I could not see my grandmother because of the COVID. So she was in the
ambulance.
Yes. And so I saw that. I opened and I was there. And the people were screaming with me. And she was there. She has no sense at all. She didn't, of course, she was sitting. She looked like an angel because she was very pale.
Yes, very, very,
yeah, very pale. She was very, very pale. But it was not about that. She was not there. In that moment, she was not there anymore. And perceiving, just help me and let it help me going, because I'm here without, I cannot do anything. I'm not. And so I decided to go to, I said, okay, I put some weed, some medicine that I had with me in her head, and I just kiss her. And then in the home, every day I took some herbs to finish, to help, to her go. And my mother, and they are twins. What are you doing on my, yes? And look, my grandmother, she asked me, I have to do this. The entire family, you are completely nuts. Yeah. Yes, I am. So what's up? So let me do this. Let me do this. And every day, and she passed away, and that sense of peace and relief, everything is completely right in that moment. It's, everything is perfect in the sense of. Mm. Yeah. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Lisa? It was a great Dharma talk.
Thank you.
When you said no, very not loud, it's the contrary.
Low, quietly.
I understood what you were feeling at that moment. No, not for me. And a year has passed from this time. And you started the curves, the 90 curves of the tree. And you shared that it's you and all the sangha. You have to trust your parents. And I have a question. Are you acknowledging?
Acknowledging.
You are in this position now. So, not the position, but you are what you are. And if you can choose, would you be there?
Wow. If I could choose, no. Wow. But I can't.
Sorry?
If I could choose, if it wasn't in this context, then I probably would run away. Yeah. I don't want to be... I wouldn't want to be sitting here. Imagine the... And it's... and so thank you for saying that, because I keep saying I don't want to be here, but I am here. And I have to acknowledge that. And I have to acknowledge that I'm wearing this, and it means something. It's not nothing. It means absolutely. It means something. I don't know what yet, but it means something. And Roshi has asked some of us to do the healthy boundary workshop, because this is power. But all of us that has a position has power with it. So you have to be very careful in how what I do with it, be it Tiago organizing or Tenzo being the cook or whatever we do that involves organizing and having some sort of... We have a meditation instructor in front of us. You have power. So it's really, yes, this is not nothing, and I'm aware of that. And that's why it's heavy. It's heavy. You can try carrying it, it's heavy.
Sorry, I'd just like to share that I was not aware that I was a meditation instructor before you pointed it out.
So you've been all week.
Yes, I will help them. Of course I will help them. Meditation instructor.
Oh. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Okay, yeah.
I'll write it down on a sticker. And then oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
Oh, just quickly, because we have to go somewhere. I had a question about exactly this. So, I think you've probably already answered it, but it was a questioning of, you know, how... Well, thank you, first of all, for your talk, but also for pointing out to me that I was the meditation instructor. And because I was, actually, what happened was I was wondering how to bring up something about the practice generally in a Samu meeting yesterday or something. Or I had a suggestion about something, and so I talked about it to Lisa before the beginning of the meeting to ask her what she thought. And she said, "Well, just say it. You're the meditation instructor, so you're the one who should say these things." So thank you.
Thank you for accepting without knowing.
Yes. So there we go. Yeah, we're back in the same place. And you also, I can't remember what it was, but you also pointed out another, it's several times during the retreat. Also, when I came back down for, I tried to steal Nuno's spot and get a second go at Koan's the other night or something. So I went back down because Nuno really didn't want to go. So I decided to go back down thinking, oh, but there's plenty of time, I can go get a second go. Lisa was like, "Go back, go away." Like, really, with a very authoritarian tone.
I am authoritarian.
Like, no, of course not, you know. And what was I thinking, really? So that's an interesting thought about this whole power thing, I suppose. Because you gave me some form of power by telling me to ask Nuno if he really didn't want to go or why he hadn't come to the line.
It wasn't my question, but...
Sorry?
It wasn't the question, but anyway.
Oh, no, that you
didn't. Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to go because he was Jikido,
yeah, exactly.
Or just to ask him if
you... Sorry, you just asked me to ask him if he needed to go. He wanted to come. And so, in fact, I misused... it's okay, but I misused this power you entrusted in me. Because I then, knowing that he was not going, I thought, like, now I'm the only one who has this information, I will use it to my profit! which I was very kindly told to, get the hell out of here. What are you talking about?
You tried well.
Obviously not. And I tried to run around them, but it didn't work. anyway, so thank you for that. But it was more so.
What?
My life, it's a continuous mistake. It's Dogen.
Oh, yeah. One continuous mistake.
One continuous mistake. Yeah.
Well, thank you. So my question was more specifically about how you. This thing, exactly. So how... how you stay in your place, really. And how you... So I've been experiencing this strongly as well with being a server, because everything is... The whole thing is set so that you have a specific role, a specific thing to do. And so I've been experiencing very regularly... That, and I think part of the team will agree with me, that we're at moments we try something to make it more fluid or something, or we suggest something, or we try something, and every time I'm like, okay, but shouldn't I really just go to the head server and suggest something instead of doing it without his knowledge or something? And it's tiny little things all over the place. It's like, you know, the bowls are, you know, who, we haven't defined who, you know, do we, when we come back from the first service and we have to transfer 3 bowls into just 2, we have never talked about this. So who does it? And how do we put the spoons? And what angle do we put the spoons on the bowls? So if I'm doing that, am I sort of overstepping on... Well, yes, I'm in my head as well.
Just so that you know.
And so I suppose the answer would be to come a bit down in the heart and to say, well, you know, why am I doing this? So it's the same questions you were asked about your great aunt, I suppose. Why am I doing this? And what's the other one again?
Who's doing it?
And who's doing it? Ah, yes. I'm the meditation instructor. You see, I'm not the guy putting the spoons correctly in the bowl.
But then the answer could be, just do it, Adrian.
Ah, yes. Ah, nice one. But, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I will take that.
There was 1 and 2. Claudia and I saw you also. Abba.
Thanks for the talk. For me, what struck me very strongly with your talk was the fact that you had to this you well, I don't know how to explain it, but I also had a friend, and he came to me, and he told me that he wanted to die assisted, and so I had this position of respecting the position of the other, you know. But then I still have this conflict between maybe I should have persuaded him not to do it, you know. So for me, your talk, the strongest was the fact that you were assisting your aunt first against your own will, kind of thing, or that naturally you felt as a Buddhist I shouldn't kill. So this shift that you did, I was interested in that.
I don't know if I had a strong. If I was strongly against it, I was. Roshi asked me, reminded me the precept, which I should know, but, and then looked into it. And I tried convincing her otherwise. I tried telling her it was from her time. We were going to miss her. But then in every way you look at it, because some people will say, well, it's selfish of her to go. And then if you take it at another side, then, well, it's selfish of you not to let her go. And then there's no way around it. In every way you take it, there's always something. So this is the not knowing. Can you look at all of it? All of it. The heart, the what you're hanging on to when you're... And both are hanging on to the right and wrong, and the this is the way it should be, not be, and who's selfish and who's not selfish and who's who. And it's endless. It's endless, the questioning. And then so... And that's what I tried doing. So then what is it for her? How can I be there for her? What is it? What does the situation... What is the appropriate action for this specific situation in that context with who she is, with her age, with her pains, with her long life, full life, whatever, all of it. Take it all. And what is the response? And you, and who you, also you. And then something will come from that. And my answer is not necessarily your answer. I mean, there's no recipe. And it might be okay to say, no, I can't do it, because you can't.
To remind you that last year you began the same way, saying that you didn't want to be there, but at the end of the talk I remember that you said, oh, finally I like it to be here.
I did that. Wow, luckily we didn't tape it, so I have no trace.
So yeah, that's true. That's true, but I was there.
I might have been joking.
You said that at the end.
Okay.
Oh, finally it's I like it to be here. I remember that.
Might have been joking.
And I want to share something I have no idea why. But yesterday, Amy, she said something. She was quoted. Great, I can't remember his name. Maezumi Roshi. And you were saying that he was always saying, is that so? And I don't know why, when Amy, she said that, I was very, I had like a huge sadness, because I understood that I will never meet Maezumi Roshi. I don't know why, it makes me very sad. And same thing when you sat here this morning, there is a link. I was thinking that Maezumi was not here today, I don't know. It's very strong, I don't know. Okay, so I share that with you. But, so maybe it's to see you here, you know, it's connecting somehow with Maezumi. I mean, of course it's connected, right? But, okay, I have no clue of what it is exactly, but it's very present.
I would like to thank you. From the moment you were sitting there and I was sitting there looking at you, it was like my heart opened wide, and your selfless self was so touching to me that it just all went straight in. And I didn't know what you were going to talk about. And the way you approached a very difficult question, it was so simple, like straight from the heart as well. It's a question that has been present for me for a long time, about life and death, and can you make the choice to end your own life? This is what your aunt did. It's a big question. Whether you're a Catholic or a Buddhist or just somebody who tries to live as a good human being, it's a big question. And it's something we never talk about, or rarely. So thank you also for to take this subject on and open it so we can all think about it, talk about it, and maybe get some clarity on all this. So thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add as a commentary. You said that you have to go here to here. You don't know how, but you are already there.
Yeah.
And you can acknowledge Thank that you. We see that.
I need to remind myself, because that's where I am. So I need to remind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all.